Today I want to, Lois and I are tag team preaching today, and I want to take us to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. The first message ever preached at a Water of Life service, preached on August the 7th, 1977, was from this passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It was preached at the 11 o'clock worship service by a very nervous former Presbyterian Sunday school teacher who was serving then as temporary shepherd over the local body. There were, I would guess, about 45 people gathered there at on folding chairs in the EMC community room, and I felt that I was that nervous former Sunday school teacher. I felt like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I didn't know what was about to happen, but I knew that this was the work that God had called for us to do, and I knew that He had given me a word for the church. And I knew that this was an important word for the church. It being the first message brought, I knew that it was a tone setter. And I knew it was a vision. You know, in the Proverbs it says, if there is no vision, where there's no vision, the people perish. And we must have a vision, we must have an understanding as what it is that God is desiring for us to do. We must have, while there are many things that God would have us to be doing as part of His family, there's one central thing, that there's one central theme, as it were, that identifies a ministry. And for us, I believe that it comes from this ninth verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, as I recall that day, I think I probably spoke on all of the different phrases there. And today I just want to zero in on the most important one. But before I do that, let me just identify here. I think sometimes folks, particularly charismatic folks, will zero in on the phrase, a peculiar people. Hallelujah, God has chosen me to be a peculiar kind of a person. And it's not peculiar in the sense that we know the word peculiar. This Greek word literally means possessed, a possessed people. That we are a chosen generation, we're to be possessed by God. You know, we hear very little about being possessed by God. We hear about being possessed by demons. We hear the term demon-possessed. But very seldom do we hear the term God-possessed, Holy Ghost-possessed, Jesus-possessed. But that's what we are chosen for. We're chosen to be possessed by God in much the same way that a demon-possessed person is controlled, motivated, moved by that demonic, ungodly spirit that he's given his heart to. When we give our heart to the Spirit of God, Jesus comes to live on the inside of us. We're to be possessed by Him so that He's the one that moves us. He's the one that motivates us. He's the one that inspires us. He's the one that anoints us. But today, the thrust of my message comes from the passage that follows, that ye should show forth the praises of Him that has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The answer to the question, why did God ordain us as a church anyhow, when there are churches on every corner? In 1977, there was no lack of churches in our community. There was no lack of churches in this entire area. Why is it that God did not send us to one of these other churches? Why did He say, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that this church was founded upon the instruction of the Lord. I read it to you just a moment ago, and having been there at that service that night when He spoke it, I know the voice of my Heavenly Father, and I know that was His voice. I know also that there have been many opportunities over these last 16 years for this church to dry up and die. But it hasn't. Why? You see, when something is formed by man, if you just leave it alone, it'll eventually go away. But Gamaliel said to the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts, But it is, if it is of God, no man can destroy it. It'll stand. I believe this work is of God. I believed it then, I believe it now, but I think we need to answer the question, why? Why did the Lord raise up this work? He showed us on that very day. He said He raised us up so that we would show forth the praises of Him who had called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Our purpose as a church was and is to show forth the praises of God. I remember the agony that we went through at the time. We were disenfranchised or dispossessed, as it were. We got the left foot of fellowship, as it has been termed, from our traditional church. We made the people feel uncomfortable, and we realized that we could no longer stay there. We had three options. We could go to another very traditional church where we would have the same effect. It would only be a matter of time that we'd get the left foot there. Or we could go to a local Pentecostal fellowship and join with people who understood the full gospel as we did. However, we realized that the problem we would have is that most of those local Pentecostal churches were smaller than this little group that was meeting in the Fulcher's living room. And we realized if we walked into one of those churches as a group, and we were a group, we were a family. It's, you're not going to send your wife to one church and your children to another. We were a family. God had knit us together. We couldn't possibly split and go to a variety of places. We had to go to one place together. We were a big family, but we were a family. That if we walk into one of these local Pentecostal churches, it will overwhelm them. It would be difficult for them to receive us. Also, our women wore slacks, and most of the Pentecostal women in Douglas County did not wear slacks or jewelry or bob their hair. Most of the Pentecostal women were long-haired and gray and no makeup and so on. We're into that legalism that many Pentecostal churches are. And so there was no place for us. And we began to see then why the Lord would say, now things have changed over the last 16 years, and there are some other options in our community. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But at that time, there wasn't. And so He said, I've ordained you to form a church, and your purpose, your objective, is to show forth the praises of God. The Amplified Bible says, to set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and the perfections of Him. When we were first formed together, we first came into the Spirit-filled life. One of our favorite songs was from John 12:32. We don't sing it very much anymore, but I think we ought to put it back in our repertoire. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Him up, why? For the world to see. Why should we do that? For if I be lifted up from the earth, I will what? I will draw men unto Me. Remember that song? Jesus said, if I be lifted up above the earth, now He was talking about His death, obviously. If I be lifted up above the earth on the cross, I'm going to draw all men unto Me. But the Spirit of God has resurrected that verse in a song in these last days. And the Spirit of God is saying, if you, the church, will lift up Jesus for all men to see, He, that is Jesus, will draw the men unto Himself. But who's going to lift Him up? The body of Christ is going to do it. The church is going to do it. And how is the church going to do it? The church is going to do it by showing forth the praises of Him that has drawn you from darkness and translated you into His marvelous light. Why did He prevent us from joining a denomination? I remember those deliberations very clearly. At that time, we saw, well, we couldn't really be part of another church in the community because it didn't fulfill God's will for us. And we saw that it would be a very disruptive thing for us to be part of another local church. And so we thought, well, what denomination shall we choose to belong to? And we called some denominational headquarters. Hello? Douglasville calling. We have come out of this traditional denominational Presbyterian church, it happened to be, and here was another group that was a spring off from the Presbyterians. They were conservative and fundamental, and we thought we might join with them, and we said, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we speak in other tongues, and believe in healing and casting out devils and so on. Would that be a problem for you? Well, no, it wouldn't be a problem for us as long as you didn't concentrate on that and make too big a thing out of it. Well, God bless you, brother, and thank you so much. And so we talked to the denominational leaders and the denominational headquarters, and it became apparent to us that there was no place for us. Now, does that mean that we can't have fellowship with other Christians? No, doesn't mean that at all. But it means that God had a special calling upon this local ministry that wasn't being fulfilled in any other way, and would not be fulfilled by a denominational connection. And so we became what would be called an independent or an interdenominational church. Not independent because we didn't want to be associated with anybody, but independent because we wanted to have no other authority over us but Jesus. Now, if you've been around for any period of time, you understand that I think you would agree with me that that was a wise decision. And I'm going to, just this week, the Lord has opened up something else for me that I want to share with you today that will answer some questions perhaps for you today as we ask the question and then answer it. How do we go about showing forth the praises of Him? How does that occur? We want to improve what we're doing. We've been a church for 16 years. We've been believers, some of us, for 10 years, 12 years, 15, some 30 or 40 years. We've just come into the fullness when we became part of this ministry. We want to grow. We want to get better at doing what God wants us to do. We want to improve. We want to get better at our purpose. But in our attempts, listen to me, in our attempts to improve our ministry, we oftentimes fall backward instead of moving forward. How do we do that? Why do we do that? It's because we become dependent upon our newly acquired abilities. It's because we become dependent upon our newly acquired understandings. Oh, that's how God does this. And then we move off in our new understanding. We become dependent upon our own wisdom and upon our own pluck, rather than dependent upon God. However, God's power is not perfected in our increased understanding. God's power is not matured in our increased learning or in our developed abilities. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 tell us that God's strength and His power is made perfect not in our ability, but in our weakness. Are you listening? And he said unto me, that is, Paul said, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. I want to repeat that to the Water of Life Christian Center. God says, if you have my grace, you have enough. My grace is sufficient, he said. It's enough. You need nothing more than the grace of God. For my strength, God said, is made perfect. This word perfect, or to be made perfect, means to grow up, to be mature, to be complete, to finish something. My strength comes to its perfect end and its complete finishing in weakness. Paul said, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses. I will thank God for my weaknesses. I will thank God that I'm not so... Beloved, I grew up 37 years in a denominational church, learning, just getting stronger. But it wasn't until I came to the end of myself and recognized my own weakness that God ever became real in my life. We must be careful as a church we don't make the same mistake. Paul said, I will glory in my inabilities. I will glory in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest on me. Because as long as I can do it myself, I don't need the power of Christ resting upon me. And if I don't need the power of Christ resting upon me, the power of Christ will not rest upon me. It is only when I know that I can't do it myself, that I cannot fulfill the purpose that God has for my life by myself in my own abilities, regardless of how I prepare myself, regardless of how I train, regardless of how I try, regardless of how I screw up all of my understanding, my wisdom, my energy, and my ability and my capacity, I cannot fulfill the purpose of God, and neither can this church, apart from the power of Christ resting upon it. Verse 10, therefore I will take pleasure in my infirmities, in my weaknesses. I'll take pleasure in the reproaches of other men. I will take pleasure in my necessities, in not having enough to do what I think I ought to be doing. I will take pleasure in persecutions because others do not understand me. I will take pleasure in distresses of all kinds for Christ's sake, because when I am weak, then Paul said, I am strong. God's not after our ability. God's after our simple trust, our simple belief, our total dependence and reliance upon Him. Now, the passage of Scripture that has been rolling all around in my heart all this week is in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Will you turn there, please, with me? And you will understand what I was referring to about this morning in the foyer with the greeters and as the service started when we had an outburst from an infant. Matthew chapter 21, beginning to read in the 14th verse. Jesus has just come. This is Passion Week, and Jesus is going to be crucified in this particular week, and He has just entered the city of Jerusalem with great triumph on the Sunday that we commonly refer to as Palm Sunday. He'd been in the temple. He'd just been in the temple and thrown out the money changers, and we pick up the story in verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, what is it that we're to do? Show forth the praises of Him that called us from darkness into light. And what is it that the Amplified said that means? It means to set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues of God. That's what it means to show forth the praises. It means to declare His wonderful deeds, and it means to display His virtues. Now that's what's about to occur here. When the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Why were they displeased? Because it was a disorderly display. It was something that disturbed their sense of decorum. They were unfamiliar with this kind of activity in their holy sanctum. They were angry at the display of praise by the children. Jesus responded. He said unto them, verse 16, Hearest thou what these say? That's the chief priests. And Jesus said unto them, Yea, I hear them. You can't help but hear when a kid goes off. Yea, here's my answer. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? If you want to hear perfect praise, you don't hear it in King James English. If you want to hear perfect praise, you don't hear it in the studied declarations of the seminary graduate. If you want to hear perfect praise, you do not hear it in the carefully rehearsed oratory of those that profess to preach the gospel. If you want to hear perfect praise, you will hear it out of the mouth of children who can barely speak and babes that are still sucking on the breast. Now, I don't know if that means anything to you, but it sure hits me real deep. And it tells me something about what God was after in establishing the Water of Life Christian Center. From the very beginning, I used to catch much flack. Some of you did too. I've had folks say to me early on. Now, you know, I pastored this church for 10 years, then I was gone for 5, and I've been back for, well, it's a year this week. I can't tell you how many people would come to me and say, Pastor, I'm afraid to bring my family to the church because, you know, things that go on in our church, they're different. I'm afraid my people won't understand it. I think my family will be offended by what they see and by what they hear. You know, we say the kids would come run the aisles, you know, just praising God, run the aisles. I can't bring anybody that I, you know well. I'm embarrassed. When the kids want to praise the Lord, the kids praise the Lord. When adults want to lose themselves in abandoned worship, this is the place to lose yourself in abandoned worship. Well, Pastor, shouldn't things all be done decently and in order? Yes, they will. When the Holy Ghost is on them, they sure will. And I would rather have a little more life than just a tiny little bit of death. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'd rather have too much life than a little bit of death. This church has always been a place. The message that came last week, what was the last week's message about? It was just what we're talking about today, isn't it? Praising God, worshiping God, having no concern for those that are around about you, but letting go your worship and your sacrifices of praise to Him. Jesus said, if you want to praise me in a perfect way, you will praise me like a child does. Babes and sucklings have perfect praise. This is the example for praise for us, not the latest and greatest in television Christian ministries. Are you listening? Those who can barely talk and cannot even think at an adult level have revealed to us what perfect praise really is. How pathetic we are when we think that we can add anything of value to the work of the kingdom of God apart from having a simple childlike faith and a simple childlike trust. In the 8th Psalm, this is where Jesus was quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. Isn't it interesting how well Jesus knew the Scriptures? Psalm 8:2 just popped right out of his mouth. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. Praise is strength. Because of thine enemies that thou mightest still or silence the enemy and the avenger. If you want to shut up God's enemies, if you want to silence the voice of the enemies of God, you do it with praise. And perfect praise comes out of the mouth of children. Praise gives strength to God's people. And the praise that is the most effective, listen to me now, praise that is the most effective, the most powerful, the most grown up, the most mature, the most perfect is that that comes from the young or the young in heart. Matthew 18. Now you say, Pastor, does that mean that I have to go back to my childhood and learn how to gurgle and pop? No. But it means you must look at your heart. It means we must look at the heart of our church. Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become, not become little children, but become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, as long as we are too decent, as long as we are too orderly, as long as we are too sophisticated, as long as we are too altogether. You know, I'll tell you something about our faith. We could use a dose of childlikeness in our faith. You know, a little child, his daddy can take on your daddy no matter how big your daddy is. Are you listening to me? Your daddy is no match for his daddy. Now, his daddy may be a wimpy guy, and your daddy may be a heavyweight champion of the world, but his daddy will take your daddy any day of the week. Now, a Christian who has a childlike heart is a children that has a God, is a child of God who has a father. Are you getting any of this? My God can take your God any day of the week. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't care who is on your side. If God's on my side, who can be against me? Now, that's a childlike faith. That's a child's faith. No matter what it is that's come against my body, no matter what it is that's come against my family, no matter what it is that's come against my pocketbook, no matter what it is that's come against my children or come against my job or come against my company or come against my joy, I don't care what it is, the greater one lives inside me, and if God is for me, this cannot be against me. It just doesn't matter. My daddy can just kick your daddy's backside. Are you listening? Now see, that's a child. That's a babe. That's a suckling. He's so innocent, he doesn't know that there's anybody tougher than his dad. Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we've come into the kingdom of heaven. We become like a child. We believe in Jesus Christ. We trust him as our Savior. We come into the kingdom, and then we know we're supposed to grow up. And it is true, we are supposed to grow up. But in some things, we should remain always childlike. And that is our confidence in God, our trust in him, and our praise unto him ought to be continually, always childlike. You ought to be 92. If you're still breathing, you ought to be praising God like this little baby. See, this child didn't know that that was out of order at that particular moment. He heard the praises of God going up, and his little spirit just want to continue to praise. Three of us tag teaming today. My brother said to me in as he was coming in, I'm sorry he's not here. They can't hear this now. He just walked out to help prepare the meal. He said, Pastor, I want to apologize to you. I was up there before church pitching horseshoes. What? What? You apologizing to me because you were pitching horseshoes before church? I said, you better stay and listen to the message this morning. You see, he's got something in him that says, well, there's something wrong with I'm having some kind of recreation before church. It inhibits me in some way. Something wrong with my doing that. God would not be pleased. Now see, a child wouldn't even acknowledge that. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, it wouldn't even pass through a child's mind. That's what I'm saying. We get so sophisticated in our understanding of what pleases God and what doesn't please God that we don't have the foggiest idea how to please him. We get it all messed up with our own abilities and our own conceptions as to what's right and what's wrong. Whosoever therefore shall, verse 4, humble himself as this little child. Here's a man right here with a microphone. When I'll get the question, somebody who's been to the church here, and somebody will say, is that small fellow still leading worship down at your church? And I say, who do you mean? You mean James Fulcher? Yeah, that fellow that dances while he's leading the singing. Jumps up and down. Is that the guy? That's what they remember about him. I say, praise the Lord. Babes and sucklings. Perfect praise. Doesn't matter what you think about me. That's what that means. That means it doesn't matter whether you think I'm a jerk or not. I'm praising God. If you join me, I hope you'll join me. But if you won't, you're not going to stop me from doing it. Are you listening? In the mouth and the feet of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. If you have a problem with that, it's your problem. See, it's not his. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is what? Greatest in the kingdom of God. You see, children are not self-conscious. Absolutely not self-conscious. They are oblivious to those around them. They have no concern for those around. They're humble. They're not puffed up with their own self-importance. They're completely independent. They're completely dependent and trusting on their parents. I think that's the way it ought to be with us. I believe that's what God is after from us, and I believe that is why He has called us to be a church. Could I be presumptuous enough to say I believe that's why He's called me to be its pastor? First Peter 2 and verse 1. Let's go back to that passage, and I think we'll close up at least this portion of what we're doing in here. Did you know that your pastor can tighten you up or loosen you up? You know what I'm saying? Your worship leader can tighten you up or loosen you up. It all goes together. It all flows together. This church will never prosper with a pastor who can't dance. I mean it. Now, I'm not saying I'm the only pastor that could ever pastor this church. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this church would die without a pastor who could dance. And the reason is what I'm trying to tell you today. You know, so when we ever have to find another pastor, just check out his two-step. Fred, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? 1 Peter chapter 2, and elders, by the way. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Now let's read this entire passage here in light of what we have just shared. Wherefore, Peter said, laying aside all malice and all guile. You know what guile is? Guile is deceit. Guile is acting like one thing and being something else. Children have no guile. Children are just the way they, you know, you ask the teachers about the kids. The kids will come in, they tell everything about their moms and dads. I mean, it just isn't, there's no guile in them. Teachers have to have real tight lips because they know lots of things about your homes that you wouldn't want them to know. The reason they do is because the kids have no guile. There's no deceit in them. They open their mouth, just out it comes. Whatever's in there comes out. That's the way we ought to be, laying aside all malice, having no malice for one another. Beloved, it doesn't matter what I know and what I don't know. I know there are people in this room that have malice for one another. How do I know that? Because all adults have malice of one type or another for someone or another. It's a malady that we grow into. Let's lay aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies, all evil speakings as newborn babes. Now, what's Peter saying we ought to become? We ought to become like kids. We ought to become like newborn babes. And following that, we should have a desire for the sincere milk of the Word. That we should grow. But not grow where we become self-reliant. Grow where we become more childlike. Are you understanding what I'm trying to get across to you today? If so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, that is Jesus, Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And what are the ones that are most acceptable to God by Jesus Christ? What is perfect praise? Perfect praise comes out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Wherefore it is also contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, I, for one, want to be the best that I can be at fulfilling the purpose that God has for me. I think as a church, I want for our church to do as perfect a job as we can in fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. And if God's purpose for us is to show forth his praises and to display his virtues, then I want to know, how can I do that more perfectly? How can I grow up in that? How can I be better at doing that? And I find out that in order for me to be better, I have to return to what it was like when I was a kid, when I didn't know anything. All I knew was him. All I knew was his grace. All I knew was his love. All I knew was that he cared for me. All I knew was that he took me out of darkness and he transferred me into his kingdom. All I knew was his grace had changed me from the inside and made me a different person. And it made me want to praise him. Made me want to worship him. I remember saying to my pastor at the time when he had come into my life, "He that is the Lord." And when I was sharing with my pastor the thing that had changed in my life, I remember saying to him, "You know, Pastor, the thing that is most different in my life since I have come to know the Lord is that every minute of every day, I want to praise him. Just praise. Just praise. Just praise." And I believe that is the way it ought to be in his church. I don't ever want to be other than that. I don't want his church ever to be other than that. And so I rejoice in the knowing that this has been a place where childlike praise could go forth and the church has prospered in it. Amen. Let me ask you to stand with me, please. And let's pray together. Now, Father, help us not to reinvent what children are. Help us not to decide what children are like and try to imitate it. Well, that's not what it is that you're asking. You're asking us to become as little children. Little children do not have the capacity. Babes and sucklings do not have the capacity to plan and scheme and consider, how can I best do this? They simply respond. When they're happy, they laugh. When they're tickled, they chuckle. When they're sad, they cry. When they're filled with joy, they make noise. They run. They tell others. When they trust, they do it completely, totally, without reservations. They don't remember formulas. They don't know formulas. All they know is that they trust. We pray today, our Father, for us as individuals and also for for us as a church, that you will return us to that place of innocence, that place of childlike innocence, and that you will hold us there while we grow spiritually and become more trusting, more free as little children. We know our foundation is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation other than He. Nothing else on which a man can build his life or a church can build its ministry, only on Jesus. We return to that foundation. We confess our return to it and our total dependence upon it. I pray, Father, for everyone gathered here this morning in the service. There's one here today that does not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit will quicken your love today to that one. And they will have an understanding that to become a Christian, to become a child of God, does not require knowledge, does not require intellectual understanding, requires only simple childlike faith. And they will embrace your Son today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.